hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the internet, and I asked him to come along and perhaps tell you, our listeners, a little bit about what the carry trade is. It's a term that I don't think most people are acquainted with, but there's so many things that are happening in the way of financial dealings most people don't understand, and yet, of course, the stability of a nation is dependent upon the stability of the currency and the financial system, and well, we've got some real problems with our monetary and our financial system. So, Michael, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, I got my start in the business in 1991. I worked on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for several years, and then I became a money manager in 1996.
All right, fine. And so your job is, of course, to analyze what's happening and to invest other people's money wisely then.
That is correct.
All right. Well, could you go ahead a little bit into what the carry trade is and how it impacts upon the financial situation that we have today?
Well, basically what the yen carry trade is where investors could borrow yen at nearly zero interest rates and invest that money around the globe, and especially in U.S. Treasuries. And the thought that we would no longer be able to do that sent the yield on the Treasury up to 4.8%, 20-month high. And my basis for the articles that I write is that our government is intent on destroying the value of our currency. And
go right ahead. I'm not going to disagree with you at all. This is my concern.
Well, I think it would be helpful if I gave your listeners a little bit of history.
All right, fine.
If you don't mind, about, first of all, a lot of my clients are very shocked to find out that in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, namely, that our currency is to be made of gold and silver only. It might also shock some people to realize that in 1933, President Roosevelt, made it illegal for U.S. citizens to own gold and silver. And then the year after that, in 1934, devalued the dollar vis-a-vis gold by 40.9%. So there you have a little bit of the history. And then following that, in 1944, we had an arrangement at Bretton Woods in which 44 of the nations, the world's wealthiest nations, pegged their currency to the U.S. dollar, which at that time was very strong. In fact, we owned the majority of the world's gold was held in the United States, and that price was fixed at $35 an ounce. But following the evolution of Bretton Woods in 1971, Nixon severed all government-backed convertibility of gold. So now, basically, we've begun this grand experiment, which is new in the history of economics, where you've had basically the entire globe for the last 35 years is now on nothing but a fiat currency.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Pento, and I found his articles up on the Internet, and I was so intrigued with what he had to say that I wanted to have him come on and talk to our listeners. And, of course, it is his contention that it would appear that the government is trying to destroy the value of our currency. Now, that sounds like a pretty outlandish statement unless you analyze what's going on, unless you understand the stability of a nation depends upon the stability of the currency. destroy the stability of the currency, you destroy the stability of the nation, you have to come up with another another alternative. And Michael was simply pointing out that certainly we took America off the gold standard back in 1933 and the silver standard, and then, of course, we tied after the Second World War all the currencies of the world to the American dollar because we had most of the gold. And then certainly in 1971, President Nixon closed the gold window, and suddenly we had all the currencies in the world. Go ahead and print all the currency you wanted to with no backing and no real reason for restraint. What a wonderful system. Everybody gets rich that way, don't they, Michael?
Yes, and this global experiment is 35 years old, and unfortunately, and I wish it wasn't the case, I think it's going to end very badly, and especially for the United States. History tells us, Dr. Stan, that countries without a solid backing in their currency usually end up in hyperinflation.
Well, now, could you explain to our listeners exactly what the carry trade is? You mentioned it was actually borrowing money from Japan at 0% and loaning it here in the United States at 4%. That's pretty good way of doing things, isn't it? You make a lot of money that way.
It's great for the United States because it enables us to have this artificially low interest rate, and it enables the government of the United States to claim fictitiously that there is no inflation. And I think later on in the conversation I'm going to prove that it's quite the opposite. But we as a nation, Dr. Stan, have become addicted to foreigners' largesse and supporting our currency and our bond market. Just to give you an example, Dr. Stan, when the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, since then to this date, they have devalued the dollar by 96%. And the much ballyhooed and vaulted Alan Greenspan, in his tenure since 1987, devalued the currency by 43%. Now, I define inflation, my definition of inflation intrinsically is an increase in the money supply.
Hold that thought right there as we bring our other stations right back on board here. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply saying that inflation is not rising prices, it's an increase in the money supply, and since Alan Greenspan came into power back in 1987, he's increased the money supply, or the inflation rate, at what rate, how much?
Alan Greenspan, to his, I'll say, credit, has devalued the currency by 43% since 1987. And since the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913, the purchasing power of the dollar has gone down 96%.
So if you took your money and you just invested it in a savings account and you were getting a couple of percent interest, you'd be going behind almost every year, wouldn't you?
Yes. The interest rate you earn on most assets is below the inflation rate.
And of course, we really have more inflation now than probably any other time, except maybe back in 1978 and 79.
That's correct. And as I was saying, inflation is an increase in the money supply. It's important that listeners understand that higher prices is a symptom of inflation. It's almost like I would say if someone sneezed, then they have to have a cold. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Higher prices result when the supply of goods is less than the increase in supply in the money supply. In other words, if the money supply was increasing 8%, and the supply of a good was increasing 8%, you might expect prices to stay the same. But that's not always the case, as you know.
Well, of course, the government tells us the inflation rate is 2%, maybe 3%, maybe even 3.5%. Are those figures really accurate?
No. Not at all, Dr. Stan, and that's usually what they like to pull out is the core rate of inflation, which excludes food and energy, which are more volatile. But in reality, as I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, you'll see the inflation rates of the money supply globally, not just in the United States, guarantee us inflation for a long time.
And of course, anybody who thinks about it at all, look what's happening to health care. Look what's happening to energy. I mean, the price of oil. You know, and if you take food out of there, what do you have left other than and housing out of there? Certainly, houses have been going up. So, how do they come up with a 2-3% inflation rate? It seems they must remove everything that has any that we use, and they must take one or two things that don't increase in value to come up with figures to make us feel better.
Well, they use two things. One is substitution, and one is called hedonics. Substitution is when the price of chicken goes down and the price of meat goes up. The government assumes that you can eat chicken all week, all month, and they don't count that as inflation. And hedonics is when they say that a vehicle, for example, has an improvement in the radio. So now they have Sirius or another satellite radio in the vehicle. That doesn't count as inflation because it's been an improvement in the vehicle. But the methodology in which they use to compute the inflation figures are skewed, and they're skewed to the downside. Inflation is running closer to 7 or 8% per annum in this country.
I think that is a...
And I believe the Fed exists for one purpose, and that's to usurp the control of our money.
All right. Where is this going to end up?
Well, it's most likely going to end up in hyperinflation for our country.
Well, what will that mean, though? I mean, after all, I won't be making more money, and if you have hyperinflation, can't we live very comfortably? There's all that money out there to invest and do things with. Won't that be beneficial for us?
Well, it depends. Like I say, Doctor, inflation is different for people and it's different for things. If you happen to be in the middle class or in the lower class, inflation is deadly. For you. If you are in the upper class and you're able to own hard assets, gold, maybe some precious artifacts, raw land, real estate, and it's not going to be as pernicious to you if you can afford hedges or stores of wealth. But if you're somebody who was working for General Motors and was downsized and now you're working for Walmart and you don't have health care and you've been renting and you don't have a stock portfolio, inflation is deadly.
And really, isn't this going to lead to a two-tiered society, the very wealthy and the very poor?
Unfortunately, I think it is. More importantly, Doctor, I would like to say that the way I define wealth is a tangible asset or a claim on a tangible asset that can be traded or stored. And America has now become a service economy. We overborrow to overconsume. Foreigners now own 47% of our debt. 47% of our debt. So how much longer are we going to be able to rely on foreign central banks to continue supporting our lifestyle?
Well, what happens if the foreign central banks stop buying our debt, our national debt?
Well, I think they will eventually. And when that happens, we have two alternatives. We could allow the interest rates to skyrocket to a usurious level, and then hopefully we will attract the foreigners to come back again after they're paying the exorbitant interest rates, or the Fed will resort to monetizing that debt themselves.
Could you explain to our listeners what monetizing the debt is? When they use the term, I think a lot of them really don't understand what it means when you say monetize the debt. How do you monetize the debt?
Well, the Federal Reserve can create money. We have a fiat currency, they create money, and they purchase the bonds in an open market transaction. They purchase the bond, the debt that they created, they actually print money from thin air and purchase those bonds. It sounds silly, but it's the truth.
Well, I think that somebody once said the difference between a monopoly game and a fiat money currency is the fact that in a monopoly game, there's only a certain amount of money on the board. In a fiat money currency, you can print all you want to. It's really great. It's a lot better than the monopoly. The only trouble is it doesn't have any more value than the monopoly money.
And unfortunately for us, because of our negative savings rate, we are totally relying on foreigners. We can't come up with the money ourselves.
Well, no, of course, the president says everything's great, the economy's great, the people are living better than ever before, and we're making a couple of hundred thousand jobs or a couple of million jobs every month. I can't keep up with the figures, but are those figures really true?
They're probably not true. They're probably overstated, but more importantly, the jobs that are being created are not the kind of jobs you can support a family on. It now takes two people, as you know, to raise a family. And a lot of people are getting along without health care, health insurance.
And this really is really such a tragedy. Nobody went without health care in America. We had a county hospital system. If you didn't have any money, you went to the county hospital. And the doctors, you could afford to take care of you. And a lot of doctors gave 1 or 2 days every week at the county hospital. But they've ground down the income of most doctors to the point where they're just barely eking out an existence. And I will tell you, because I'm with them, you know, every week at the various meetings, and not one of them I know is happy about the way things are going, and they're not allowed to do what they think is best for their patients anymore. It's all being directed by some corporate executive or by some clerk who tells you how long you'll keep the patients in the hospital, and if you get out of line, why, they'll drop you from the plan, and you won't have any income at all as a physician. They've destroyed the finest healthcare system in the world, and they've done it, in my estimation, intentionally. Well, now, really, what can people do then if what you're saying is true, and I know it is true, but certainly, what can the average individual do? The average individual, you know, if they have a fixed income, maybe they have on a pension, and you know, they have Social Security, and then they have maybe a corporate pension, and they're getting by fairly well right now. Should they be worried about the future?
Absolutely, and I wish I had a silver bullet, magic bullet, or panacea for you, but the best thing you can do right now is to start accumulating hard assets, something that is a store of wealth that will hold its value against a depreciating currency.
All right, well then, what sort of things should people be accumulating?
Precious metals, commodities, raw land, foreign stocks as a hedge against the currency, and also precious metal stocks, just to name, you know, a few.
And, of course, what about these foreign stocks? How would anybody even know what sort of foreign stocks to get?
Well, I don't want to give a plug for my own firm, but...
Go ahead. That's all right. I don't object to that at all. If you'd like to get your telephone number out, your website, go right ahead.
Thank you. My website is deltaga.com. And what I specialize in doing is just giving investors a hedge in case I'm correct, and I really do feel in my heart, unfortunately, I am. You need to protect your assets from being strictly invested in dollar-denominated assets. You need to have some holdings overseas. This way, hopefully, those investments will do well, and because our currency will be depreciating, you'll actually even make more money when you repatriate that currency back into dollars.
And, of course, we know that certainly George Soros and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett tend to more or less agree with your position, don't they? Aren't they investing overseas?
They certainly are. Now, they did it last year, and unfortunately for them, the dollar had a nice year last year, and that was mostly because of the Federal Reserve's 15 consecutive interest rate increases. So that was supportive of our currency, but I think it's pretty clear that kind of rate of interest rate increases is going to end very soon, and the floor that's holding the dollar up will be pulled out.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Michael Pinto. If you're out there across America, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Michael, what he says makes a lot of sense, especially since I've been studying this issue recently and putting together a syllabus and a talk on it. America's in real trouble financially. And remember, the stability of the currency determines the stability of the nation. Well, Michael, you know, as you talk to people about this, what sort of response do you get?
Well, it depends, obviously, on who I'm talking to. Some people are right in tune to what I'm saying. People have taken the time to educate themselves. And unfortunately, some people find it un-American and take umbrage to what I'm saying. But I'm very patriotic. I love this country. But I just like to look at things as objectively as possible and reach my own conclusions. And these are the conclusions I've reached.
Well, of course, now, there was some problems with the carry trade here a couple of weeks ago, weren't they, when there was talk about raising the interest rates in Japan, and then some of these people who had been borrowing money at 0% interest, and they were, of course, lending it in Iceland and lending it here in the United States. In Iceland, I think they were getting up to 10%. Iceland was trying to attract money in, but when they began pulling money out of the Icelandic economy, didn't have an impact on that and some of the other economies as the people involved in the carry trade, these great hedge funds that are moving, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars around all the time. Didn't that have an impact on certain of the currencies?
Absolutely did, Doctor. And this point is the world has become addicted to this illusion of just keeping assets inflated. And particularly here in America, our service economy, the Fed is, because of our service economy, the Fed is forced to create bubbles, ostensibly to generate wealth. And I just want to point out, and you brought up some other countries, let's look at some of the monetary growth rates around the globe for the last year. In the United States, it's been 7.8% in the last 35 years. And 8% for the last year. Denmark is 14.7%. Britain, 11.7%. Australia, 9.1%. Europe, 8.7%. Canada, 7.7%. And the two big ones, China, 17%. And India, 16.4%. Those are monetary growth rates in 1 year.
Well, of course, what's happening over in China, though, you just see these massive skyscrapers going up every place in China. It looks like they're very, very prosperous.
Well, you know, when you print money and feed it out to a populace, you're going to get a quick spurt of growth and wealth. But unfortunately, this wealth never, the currency, and the credit doesn't go away as easily as the goods and services with which it's chasing after. And there's a long and delayed hangover that will occur.
And so things look pretty good and rosy for a time, but down throughout history, this has been tried over and over and over again, from ancient Greece to ancient Rome, to Hitler, to pre-Hitler's Germany, the Weimar Republic, to Argentina recently, Russia after the fall of the wall. None of these systems ever worked over any period of time. In fact, I think it's amazing that our system has worked as long as it has. But you had to have responsible people in government. It seems that we no longer have responsible people in government. Have you had that feeling?
I certainly have, and I think the reason, Doctor, that it's lasted so long is because our currency is battling against other currencies of the same composition. So in other words, if the United States was the only country with a fiat currency and everybody else was on a gold standard...
Hold that thought for just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was simply saying that our currency has held up pretty well for some time because all the other countries in the world were on the same fiat system, but now things are beginning to change. And would you like to pick up the story and go from there?
Yes, if our currency was the only currency that was a fiat currency, then the international exchange rates would punish our currency severely. But since there's a lot of countries out there that are pegged to our dollar... Well, the fact that our currency is being debased de facto against hard assets is not easily seen in the international exchange rates, because one currency is debasing just as fast as the other currency. But I'd like to point out, and this is my great fear, is I can almost pinpoint a time frame at the latest when we're going to really start to see the perniciousness of our fiat currency. And I just want to go over a couple of things as far as our Social Security and Medicare deficits.
Okay, go ahead.
These are the true numbers. I got this from the Social Security trustees and the Medicare trustees report. This is the negative cash flow for Social Security through 2079. It's $25.8 trillion, and in Medicare, it's $29.9 trillion in the next 75 years. So I don't see any way other than the Fed monetizing this debt. Because, as I say, the investors, U.S. investors, don't have the savings, and the foreigners already own 47% as of today of our debt. So, I mean, how much more can we ask them to take on? Reneging on our obligations would be political suicide for politicians to say, well, we're just simply not going to pay you your Social Security and Medicare. So what are they going to do? They're obviously going to just print the problem away.
And, of course, with that comes the destruction of everybody's savings, of CDs, of everything people have that's denominated in dollars.
Absolutely. Now, there's two reasons why I believe that the United States is going to fare more worse than the rest of the countries, because there are other countries out there who have aging populations. And I've heard people say, well, you can't just speak of our demographic time bomb without talking about, you know, Japan's and China's and Europe's demographic time bomb. And the two reasons why I think we're worse off is because, number one, we have no savings. We have a negative savings rate. The other countries that I just mentioned have a very high savings rate. So when they face their demographic challenges, what they'll do is they'll, instead of supporting our debt, they'll support their populace. We don't have that luxury. And the second reason is the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. The other countries don't have that specter where they can say, oh, the entire globe is going to issue our currency at the same time. We have that potential problem here.
And what you're suggesting then is that what might happen, because we are the reserve currency, if other countries in the world begin to lose confidence in our currency, the value would fall, and all those dollars would come back in the United States, and would be just dealers with dollars, and that would be highly inflationary, wouldn't it?
It would make the inflation that we're experiencing today look like nothing.
But, of course, why aren't our leaders doing what's right? Why isn't the Fed doing what's right? Why isn't Congress and Senate doing what's right? Why are they cutting taxes and increasing spending? How long can you keep running massive deficits, not only federal deficits, but massive trade deficits? How long can you spend all the money from the Social Security Fund and Medicare Fund and put in IUs that have to be redeemed at some time in the future, because there is no money in Social Security Fund? There is no money. There's only an IOU from the government, and the government doesn't have any money but what it takes from us by force.
You know, it just makes me... I stand in awe of how a government can talk about when the trust fund needs to be tapped and when it goes bankrupt, when everybody knows there's just a bunch of bonds in there, or they should know if they don't know. There's a bunch of IOUs that gonna, in 2017, when that fund needs to be tapped and Social Security begins to go negative, they're going to open up that trust fund and there's a bunch of bonds in there that are going to say, redeem me. By whom? Who is going to do that? But they speak of that as some kind of reserve.
And I think it's so important. We're talking about 11 years from now. Why, there will be more money going out of the Social Security Fund than coming in, and so they've got to go in into the reserves. But what are the reserves? The government IOUs that have the integrity of our president, George Bush, and the integrity of the leaders of our Federal Reserve System. But so many of the leaders of the Federal Reserve Bank have resigned. In fact, Alan Greenspan's out. A number of the chairmen, the heads of these banks are leaving. It's sort of like the rodents leaving the vessel just before it goes down. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Michael Pinto, and we'll welcome your calls from out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Michael Pinto, and we're talking about what's happening financially to our country, and people don't like to hear that things aren't good. After all, the market seems to be hanging in. It goes up a little one day and down the next day. But people don't understand that at one time, after the Second World War, we had 50% of our gross domestic product was manufacturing. Today it's 14%, and the manufacturing is all going overseas. And so many of our corporations are no longer American corporations. They've been bought up by other companies that have come over here. They have all these dollars that they've got because of our massive trade deficit, and they're just buying up America. Warren Buffett recently said that foreigners own $3 trillion more of America than we owe of them. Is that a pretty accurate figure?
Yes, it is, Doctor.
Well, why isn't anybody concerned? It seems to me that they're taking this whole thing to heart when they say buy American, and the foreigners are buying American. They're buying up the United States.
Well, the big push right now in Congress is to have the yuan, which is the Chinese currency, revalued vis-a-vis the dollar. In the hopes of balancing our trade deficit, which is running at a run rate of $822 billion for 2006.
But, of course, only about $200 billion of that is with China. So even if we weren't trading with China, we'd still be behind $600 billion. And $1 billion, you know, here and $1 billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Well, what kind of revaluation would you have to have for someone in China to purchase a General Motors car instead of a domestically made automobile? According to my calculations, it would have to be close to 30% revaluation before you would start to see any meaningful change in the trade deficit. If that kind of revaluation occurs, you'd have to ask yourself two questions. One, of course, is who's going to continue to buy our bonds? Because that's what happens when China ties their currency to our currency by printing yuan. And what they do with that yuan is they buy dollars and they park them in treasury. So if they don't have to buy as many dollars, that's going to drive interest rates up. And the second thing I'd like to ask is, the next time you go to Walmart, you might have a little bit of a sticker shock. Since Walmart is just a big outlet for Chinese goods, they're going to be much more expensive.
And I think that people are going to have to realize that we are going to have a massive increase in the price of everything we buy here. And you're not going to have any increase in your salary because your employer isn't able to pay it and still be competitive. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Pinto. And Michael, if you'd like to get your telephone number and your website out one more time, and, of course, if you'd like to call us from out across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about the fact that I believe, and I think Michael does too, and I've really never met Michael until just about a week or so ago, when I called him and asked him to come onto the program, because I was so really taken with what he was writing, because he was writing about the very things we've been trying to warn people about. The fact that we're on the verge of a major financial, I believe a financial collapse, and with that will come mass inflation and the destruction, of the value of the holdings of the majority of the American people. And, of course, will have a profound impact on our businesses, will have a profound impact on our very way of life. And an awful lot of people have been buying these cheap homes. My goodness, you go out, buy a house now, nothing down. You may even not be able to have very good credit, but they've been selling you the houses. But when the day comes when you can't make the payments on those houses, then an awful lot of people are coming in for a real shock. So go ahead and let's get your name, your number, your website out, and then, of course, we just let you continue developing your ideas.
My email is mpinto@deltaequity.com, and my website is www.deltaga, stands for Global Advisors, .com. And I can be reached toll-free 866-772-1198.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, you probably are working with a fairly affluent clientele who are aware of what's going on. Do you think the average American really understands the implications of what's happening financially to our country?
Not at all. Unfortunately, not at all. And I hope I serve some value by letting people know what's going to happen in the next decade or so. And I say next decade, I mean on the outside. That's a generous amount of time in which that people have to prepare.
I think you're absolutely right. What happened here? I mean, certainly in this last week and a half, we've seen the most dramatic increase in the price of gold and silver I have ever seen. You know, going back to 1980, we had something similar in 1979 as we moved into this tremendous inflationary spiral that had been brought on as a result of taking us off the gold standard, the silver standard, and then instead of trying to finance the Vietnam War with taxes, we simply did it by debt because we wouldn't want to get the voters mad at the administration. Well, you know, we've got Dave calling right now from Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Pretty well. How are you this evening?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I have a question. I'd like to know whether or not...
Yeah, what about Dave? Go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to know whether or not he believes that the price of gold is going to increase from what the analysts say upwards of $1,000 within the next few years.
All right. Did you get the question, Michael?
Yes, I did. Thanks for the question, Dave. As long as the government continues to debase the currency at the inflation rates that they are continuing to do at about 8% per annum, then there is no ceiling for the price of gold. It could absolutely go above $1,000, and there is no ceiling for it. As long as we continue to debase the currency, that's what you're going to get, higher precious metal prices.
And I really think that's true. David, I had to cut you off because we were getting a feedback, because we were talking to you and we were coming back over the telephone. So if you want to call back, but you'll have to turn down your computer or shortwave or whatever you're listening to us on. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if people are going to buy gold, what form would they get it in?
Well, you could buy a gold stock, and that's a very easy way to own gold. You could also buy the gold ETF, which is the symbol GLD. But the problem with that is the gold is not allocated specifically in your name. But if you go to my website, you'll see a very easy way to purchase gold. It's called bullionvault.com. There's a link to that site, and they have gold that is allocated in your name at some of the lowest storage rates in the industry.
All right, fine. So and then somebody else is holding it, but they're storing it for you. What about silver? Is silver a good investment at this time?
Silver is also excellent, and the silver price has skyrocketed in the last few weeks. There's going to be a silver ETF coming online here very shortly, and that's another great hedge against inflation.
All right, fine. Well, we got Dave back from calling from Brooklyn, but hopefully we'll get him on the... Hi, Dave. We had to cut you off because we had the echo there. Go ahead. Do you have another question?
Yes, my apologies. I'm fairly new to the radio talk show game, so I apologize for listening while I was speaking. My other question is, I understand that quite a bit of people out there have invested monies these days into real estate by mortgaging once, twice, and threefold on their existing homes and all. My question is whether or not Mr. Pinto believes that a lot of this money that's coming into the market now is based upon the fact that these people are reinvesting into the market as opposed into speculating on real estate.
That's a very good possibility. I don't claim to know for sure, but that's certainly a plausible argument.
Of course, a lot of people have been buying houses and speculating on them because up until recently, they were making an excellent profit on it. You would buy a house, and sometimes even before it had closed, the price had gone up $10,000 or $20,000. And so a lot of people were making a tremendous amount of money speculating on buying houses. But the difficulty is the interest rate gets up higher and higher. Why, there's fewer and fewer people able to afford to buy those homes. Michael, do you think that there's going to be a dropout in the housing market before long?
I've written extensively about that. In May in 2005, I kind of predicted that this was going to happen, and we're right in the middle of it right now. You alluded to the 1% nothing down, interest only, negative amortization loans. You pulled a lot of demand forward from people who were renting into the housing market. You also had a tremendous amount of speculation in the housing market. That all has come to an end, so I think we're going to get a few years here of very, very small gains in the housing market at best, and quite possibly in certain areas of the country, 25% decrease in the value.
May I interject?
Go ahead, Dave. Do you have another question?
Well, you know, since we're going down this road, my question is, at this point, there's probably a lot of people who are being hurt by these negative amortization loans and all. Is it possible, if these people are savvy investors, that if they do put some of their cash back into the market, that they'll be able to offset some of their losses, and perhaps the Fed will see that happening and curtail the interest rate hikes?
All right, first, and then the question is, could people actually get around what the problems that they have by just investing in the market at the present time and making money there? What do you think about that, Michael?
Well, we have a new Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, who has written extensively about the Great Depression and how it was caused by the dollar being backed by gold and monetary policy becoming too restrictive. It's my view, Mr. Bernanke is a deflation hawk, not an inflation hawk, and I firmly believe after maybe one more interest rate increase, he's going to try to rescue the housing market and other asset bubbles by printing money, even more than he is now. And it's important to note that after 15 rate hikes by the Federal Reserve, the growth of M3 is still running around 8% per annum.
Amen to that. Okay, anything else, Dave? I would simply comment that Richard Russell, who's one of the smartest people around, I know, Richard Russell began writing the Dow Theory Letter back in 1958, and recently, you know, after being at this for almost 50 years, he commented, he's out of the market. He's afraid to death of the stock market. He says he's going to let other people play the market. He's just going to sit in his treasury bills and watch, because he thinks that it's for a real roller coaster ride. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
I would happen to agree with that. I'm not going to argue with Richard Russell. He's a pretty knowledgeable guy. But it is important to realize that the Federal Reserve has the power to monetize all asset classes. That includes bonds and equities. So you can't just say, well, the Dow is going to go down because of this or that, because the Federal Reserve is going to fight that with everything they have.
But, of course, in the process of fighting it, they could end up losing the battle. They could end up destroying the value of our currency and ultimately destroying our nation.
That's absolutely my feeling. And you did mention also why the price of gold has been going up recently. And one of the reasons why I wrote my commentary was because that I feel that even now in this supposedly halcyon days of this economy, we see Japan and China starting to diversify their holdings out of the dollar and into other assets, including gold. Just for a fact, Japan increased their holdings of U.S. Treasuries 115% in the last 4 years. And China increased their treasury holdings 225%, both in the last 4 years. So the time is coming sooner rather than later where they're going to start to look at diversifying their portfolio of holdings outside of the dollar.
Especially.
Can I interject one more question, sir?
Okay, go ahead.
And then I promise that'll be it for me. As an individual investor at this point, I have some real estate holdings, I've got some cash. I'm interested in the gold market. I'm interested in the retail stock market. Somebody would say, for instance, let's say you had about $100,000 in liquid cash. Where would you put that money today?
Okay, Michael, the question is, if you had $100,000 in liquid cash, where would you have that money today?
And thank you for your time, and I'm going to hang on a little bit and listen to his answer, and thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, David. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Where do you think that, where should people put if they have that? Obviously, Dave calling from New York is obviously comfortable. He's got some property. He's got probably some stocks. He's got some cash. $100,000 is a lot of money. Where would something like that be most wisely placed to protect its value and of course, hopefully to increase in value?
Well, not knowing David's age, He does sound like an elderly man, but not knowing his age, it's hard for me to pinpoint an exact percentage of asset allocation. But I would say for sure you'd want to be overseas in a good portion of your holdings. You definitely want to own some real estate, especially after this bubble breaks, and it is breaking, and a good portion also in precious metals and other stores of value.
All right, fine. So you think that would be in certainly in. What about just owning gold coins and silver coins? Is there any place for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big believer in those.
Unless
the government decides to try to confiscate your gold again like they did in 1933.
Well, of course, the thing is that, you know, I think that people would be pretty angry with them, but then they're already angry with the government. Doesn't seem that, you know, 90% of the people disapprove of what they're doing as far as illegal immigration, and they're going to go ahead and do it anyway, because they figure we'll forget what's going to happen before November. I hope that the American people do not forget what happened and how their congressman voted on these issues before November. I hope they remember. And in fact, that's why they've made it illegal for certainly any certain political organizations to let the people know within, I think it's 60 days of the election, how their congressman voted. I think we need to be constantly aware of how our congressman has voted and if he's not doing a good job and not adhering to the Constitution, I think he should be replaced. Well, now, you know, certainly, you know, as we talk about what's happening, what about the influence of derivatives on the market? What part will they play in the coming weeks and months?
Well, derivatives, government service enterprises, government-sponsored enterprises, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp, Fannie Mae, most of these institutions are in trouble. And these will serve to exacerbate the fall of the dollar when it finally starts to unravel, Doctor.
Well, of course, you know, when will the dollar unravel, though? If we go into inflation, they just keep printing more and more and more money, and of course they can keep the thing going for a time, can't they, just by putting more money into the economy?
Yes, they can do it, but eventually the populace will lose faith in the currency, and that's what precipitates hyperinflation. And I have heard the argument before that since China and Japan own so much of our debt that they will not allow this dollar crisis to occur. And I think that's a specious argument. When the dollar does begin this precipitous decline, foreigners will abandon the dollar just to protect their position. And I liken, to illustrate this point, I liken it to the holders, some of the inside holders of Enron stock, the major holders of Enron stock. Even though most of their fortunes were tied to that stock, when they knew the ship was going down, did they say, I'm going to defend the position and hold it? No, they got out what they could when they could. And it's going to be, unfortunately, the same way for the foreign central banks that hold our currency.
And of course, this argument that's made, they would be afraid to get out because they stand to lose so much, I think is a really a fool's position. Other countries, like individuals, will try to preserve what they can. And there are certainly, you know, Japan and China together certainly own a tremendous amount of the American debt at the present time. Foreigners hold over 44% of our debt? 47% of our debt. And these are people who are here invested because, you know, they want a safe place for their money. But if they feel that it's no longer a safe place, you know, I fear that they're going to bail out just as, and of course, we never know what it might be. It could be any sort of an issue. It could be a war. It could be some sort of an epidemic. It could be some sort of a terrorist attack. We saw what happened to the stock market after September 11th. Various stocks just came tumbling down. Is there a concern that there might be a major issue of this sort that would really rock the very core of the stock market?
Absolutely. There's a number of exogenous events that could occur that would, like you mentioned, war. But, you know, you can't predict that. But what you can predict is what I've laid out, is the trillions upon trillions of dollars of debt that this country has that must be paid somehow. You cannot tax the American people. The amount of taxes you'd have to raise would bankrupt the country. renege on your obligations. The only path I see is hyperinflation. And unfortunately, that's the path I think we're going to go down.
I really fear that you're right. And well, we're going to just have to get back and talk a little bit more about this. We'll wrap up the program in just a moment. Michael, stick up with us for just a moment or two, and we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Michael Pinto, and Michael is certainly talking about his concern about what's happening to our economy. And everybody, I think, should be concerned. People say it could never happen here, and yet, if you read the history of the world, you know, over the last 3,000 years, you'll find that there's nothing new about a fiat money currency. They had it in ancient Greece. They had it at the time of the Roman Republic, and that's why Rome collapsed and they established a dictatorship. The Roman Empire, it was over monetary, you know, certainly insecurity and monetary failure. And certainly then, of course, the Roman Empire went under, at least the Western half, because, of course, they did not guard the value of the currency. So what could be done at the present time? Do you have any ideas what might be done to prevent this collapse, or do you think it's inevitable?
You know, I wish I had an easy solution, but the only solution I see would be a government-sponsored depression where we could bring the balance of payments back in line. And, I mean, it's politically untenable. You can't force that down a voting public. So they're going to continue to put their head in the sand and go along their merry way until the crisis happens.
And, of course, even if we did have a depression, you would still have those massive Social Security debts, the massive Medicare debts, and now the massive medical Medicare drug bill that is unfunded mandate. All of this certainly is going to weigh down the future of our society. It looks to me like there is really no way in the world they can possibly pay off the debt that they've accumulated and provide all the services that they promised. And really, I think the great tragedy is a large segment of our population is going to be impoverished, and the only people who are going to do well are those who are very wealthy, and the government employees who have guaranteed benefits, and the congressmen who have guaranteed benefits as far as their pensions, but of course they're unconcerned about the pensions of the rest of the population. Would that be a fair statement?
Very fair. And you know what, Doctor? Even though the situation is dire, and there definitely is not an easy answer, what we can hope for and ask and demand from our politicians is honesty. When they come out with the budget figures because of the unified budget, it's even scary when they come out with $480 billion deficit. But the actual deficits, if you didn't count the games they play with Social Security, is, and all the off-budget items like, you know, we're not going to count the hurricanes, and we're not going to count the war. It would be $3.5 trillion, according to GAAP.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mike was just saying that even though they tell us, you know, that you know, there's only going to be a certain amount of debt, $300 or $400 billion, the truth of the matter is it's a great deal more than that. They're simply not being honest with you, and Michael is calling on our politicians at least to be honest with us. But then, of course, where do you find an honest politician? Well, anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us, Michael. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's been a privilege.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Michael Pinto, and I hope you enjoyed what he had to say. If you would like more information, we have a pamphlet, inexpensive little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. We have a talk on the coming financial crisis. And, of course, next week I will be speaking in Southern California. We put together a great syllabus. It won't be available for a couple of weeks till we have the video that goes with that talk. But it's called The Financial Tsunami, and I think you'll find it fascinating as we come up with all the government statistics, the last figures ever printed on M3, because government is not going to let us know what they're doing. We're not smart enough to understand what these intellectuals are up to and how they're manipulating our future and the future of generations yet unborn. There really are people who'd like to destroy America because they have a different agenda. And do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to destroy the value of its currency? Well, if you'd like more information, our number is 1-800-544-8927. The pamphlet, The History of Money, the video, actually it's a DVD, The Coming Economic Crisis, and then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Gold for Survival by Dr. Sutton, Gold for Investment by Dr. Sutton, and the Fiat Money Inflation in France, which is a very, very small book, but it's so important because it tells you what happened in France in 1789. And you say, who cares what happened in France in 1789? You should read the book because it's like deja vu all over again. Same things happening in America today that happened after the French Revolution. Well, this is the time we need to, of course, remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number 1-800-544-8927. We are still offering, and we will probably through the end of next week. By then, I think we'll probably be closing our offer. We're still offering a case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, for $149.95. You get 64 copies of the book. That's 64 copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Ordinarily sells for $12.95 each, and you get 64 for $149.95 plus the postage as we ship them to you. And you can give them away, you can sell them, do whatever you want to. We want you to get the book in the hands of as many people as you can. And, of course, once we've got the full contingent of people who've made their pledge, and we've got three-quarters of them now. But once we have the full contingent, we won't make the offer again until we're going to do another printing. In fact, I'm surprised we have gone through the books we had as quickly as we have, but certain ministries have been buying them in large numbers and getting them out because they think that this is such an important book to educate the American people about the spiritual forces behind what's happening today. Again, let me mention our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, and then, of course, we do carry the Berkey products. If you buy them through us, you get either a video or a four-tape set we produced. Got a great new four-tape set on the Financial Armageddon. We have another four-tape set on oil. We have a new four-tape set on vitamin C and the importance of vitamin C. And then, of course, some of the books we have on how to maintain your health. If you want to know why we have so many people who are pathologically obese, why you need to get our four-tape set on aspartame. And why? Because aspartame in all animals produces pathological obesity. You need to go to four-tape sets on fluoride with water fluoridation to understand they're poisoning our children. And they're doing the same thing with mercury in the vaccines. We have evil and wicked people in our society. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty until Monday. May the Lord be with you.